Last 3 weeks about different gifts that God has given to us. And we want to wrap up our series on the gifts of Christmas this Sunday as we prepare and look forward to Christmas Eve. Now, each week we've had a video clip to kind of set up our talk for the day, and today is no exception to that. And so I know we just had a video, and we're going to have another video, and that felt a little weird to me in the service, but that's how we're going to start it off as we talk about the gift of adoption today.
It's from my husband, and I know what it is. I know because he told me right after we were married that he told me what he was going to get me on this Christmas. I guess I just never thought this Christmas would actually get here. So. See, I always knew that I was meant to be a mother, and my husband was meant to be a dad. I just knew it. I was sure of it. Till I wasn't. It happened slowly at first. I didn't notice it, but after a while, the cute little jokes that our friends made, they stopped being funny, and well, the constant pep talks from our family reminding us that it just takes time, well, it started to become more defeating than encouraging. It's actually a little frightening to think how many dark places my mind went to during those years. I mean, I thought, had I done something wrong? Was I being punished? I even convinced myself that somehow, some way, God had abandoned us in our pursuit of our dream of being parents. I thought, maybe if I prayed more or trusted more, believed more, then maybe, but after years of praying and trusting and believing, I had nothing to show for it. Nothing but a broken heart and a bunch of empty tissue boxes. Well, we eventually just learned to live with our broken hearts. I mean, it was just the way it was going to be. Till it wasn't. It was December 21st. I remember because I opened my advent calendar and there was an extra piece of chocolate in there. I love that. I love it when that happens, but that was not the best part. The best part was the scripture message that came with the chocolate. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has chosen me. He has commissioned me to encourage the poor, help the brokenhearted. Oh. See, in this prophecy about the coming Messiah, God reassured me that not only had he not forgotten about us, but that he wanted to help us. Well, that little seed of hope found its way into my heart. And yes, God does have a strange way of doling out kids, but we soon realized that we didn't have to necessarily experience the miracle of childbirth to experience the miracle of having a child. So, while my friends were off to Lamaze classes, we met with lawyers and social workers and notaries, and it took us a lot longer than 9 months to become parents, but that little miracle, she was worth the wait. In my wildest dreams, I could never have imagined how God would orchestrate this for us, but he did it. He did it. You know, just the other day, God reminded me that he provided baby Jesus in a very strange way on that very first Christmas. He didn't come like everyone thought he was going to show up. He also reminded me that because of Jesus, I am his adopted child. And if he loves me as much as I love that little girl, well, I don't have to ever question his love for me again.
read in John chapter 1 these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though this world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus came into this world, which we celebrate at Christmas, and he came to bring us the gift of adoption. The gift of becoming the children of God. Not of natural descent, not because we kind of inherited it that way, not because we were born into the right family, but because we were born of God. Christmas is an interesting time because we usually take this time, the only time during the year we ever do this, to look at the story of the birth of Jesus, right? And so when we talk about the Christmas story, the things that often come to mind are things like Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, and the star up in the sky that the Magi were following, and the angels that appeared to the shepherds and told them where to go to see this new little baby that had been born. And that's all the stuff we usually talk about when we talk about the Christmas story. What's interesting is, in the four accounts written of Jesus' life, the details of that story are only found in two of them. Matthew and Luke tell us the story of the birth of Jesus. Mark and John do things totally differently. And this is how John tells us the Christmas story. He doesn't talk about the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. He talks about the significance of what it meant that Jesus came into the world. Came into the world so that we could be adopted by God. So we can be a part of God's family because of what the Christmas story represents. But, you know, when you think about family and Christmas, it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Like, when you think about your experience with family at Christmas time, there's parts that are really positive and exciting and things we look forward to being able to see family and have time together. And then there's also the other side of that where you also think about some of those other family members. You know, crazy uncle, you fill in the name, you probably have one, who you're not quite as excited to see. Things aren't quite as good maybe between you, or maybe there's some long-standing grudges that go back years and years within your family. There's sort of this double-edged sword when it comes to family time at Christmas. There's a side of being excited to see people, and then there's maybe the side of not being so excited to see certain people, or maybe also the anticipation of loneliness and not really being able to see any family, even though you would like to. For whatever reason, because they're distant and far away, or because you've experienced loss. Family has a real positive connotation at Christmas, but it also has a real challenge for us. But this idea of family, and a family not just natural family, not just our human family, but a family of God that we've been adopted into, is the focus of our talk today. Now, as we talk about this idea of the gift of adoption, for me, this is a pretty, I'm probably going to get all choked up today, so we'll see how we do. It's a pretty personal topic. Having walked through the journey of adoption to bring our third son into our family, this is a topic I really connect with. And this is a way I clearly understand, I think, maybe more than in other ways, what God has done for me. And so I hope to share a little bit of our story and my story alongside God's story of adoption to kind of help us maybe get to a place where we understand the majesty and the wonder of what he has done for us. So let's start off with taking a moment just to define it. What is adoption about? Just so we're all kind of on a level playing field, we're all kind of in the same place. To adopt, to choose or take as one's own. To make one's own by selection or assent. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, parental adoption, to take and rear the child of another of other parents as one's own child, specifically by a formal legal act. Or to take or receive into any kind of new relationship. To receive into, to go out and take and receive into your own family, someone else. Now, John isn't the only one who talks about this idea of adoption in the Bible. There's actually a number of different places where this image is used of what God has done for us in adopting us into his family, that we weren't necessarily naturally his kids, but he actually adopted us into his family. And so one place Paul talks about this is in the book of Galatians. He says, "So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world." That's where we were. That's the trouble we were in. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Now, what this text picks up, and want to kind of flesh this out a little bit today, there's a couple themes, I think, that come out of this idea of being God's adopted kids, that he has adopted us, this gift of adoption. And the first one of those themes is that we have been brought out of something by someone who sought us out. Paul talks about the fact that we were in slavery, right? We were in slavery to the spiritual elemental forces of the world. There's stuff there, out there in our world, and we basically live satisfying our own desires or the desires of the world. We're slaves to that. But God sought us out in the midst of that to bring us into something different. So, the first piece of this idea of being lost and found. We were sought out by someone who came looking for us. When we started the journey of adoption several years ago now, we had been through a season in our life where we had two great boys that God had blessed us with, and we were trying to have a third, and that was not happening for us. And so some of the pain that we heard about on the video, we felt pretty acutely in our own family. And through that process, we came to a place of saying, well, what about adoption? And I had never really considered it. It wasn't I was against it, but I'd never really thought about it. And so, you know, Tara gave me some space to think about it and pray about it, and I did that. I went away and spent a few months just listening and trying to hear from God's word and from him what he would say to me about this. And it was amazing to me during that season how many times adoption shows up in this book. I had never really seen it before. I mean, I'd seen it, but you never really pay attention to it. And over and over and over off the pages of this, as I was just doing, I wasn't like searching for it. I didn't do like a concordance search to find all the instances of adoption and go look them all up. I was just doing my regular reading. And over and over and over again, I saw adoption show up. God was reorienting my heart to consider something that's very much a part of his heart. And so we began this process. And we began a long, long process of working through all the legal stuff that has to be done in order to adopt. We had to do a home study, have a social worker come into our house, and, you know, we met several times with her. She saw everything in our house. We had to take all sorts of photos and submit them to people. She interviewed our kids. It was a pretty in-depth kind of process where they made sure that we were actually suitable parents to adopt. From there, we applied to the Ukrainian adoption process and their government agency over there that regulates all that. And then it was a waiting process. Waiting, waiting, waiting for when we were actually going to be able to travel over to Ukraine to begin the actual process there. See, in Ukraine at the time, you're not matched with a child before you go. You just go and wait to see who you're going to be matched to, and you get to stay in the country while they work through the whole process until you're done. So they estimated between 5 and 6 weeks overseas for that to be able to take place. So we were waiting. We had to wait to get our plane tickets finalized. Finally got the word, yes, we can go. It was supposed to be in August. So we got our plane tickets, boarded the plane, went over to Ukraine early in August. And we got there, went to our first appointment, and there were no suitable children who were a match to us. And so we got to wait some more. And we spent a couple weeks just hanging out in Kiev, the capital city of Ukraine, touring around, but always with our cell phone that we had got over there, just right ready to go, waiting for a call, waiting for a call, waiting for a call that we'd be able to go back for another appointment to get matched with a child. Well, we finally did get that call, and we were able to go to an appointment to meet with the agency again, and they had the profile of this little boy who had this incredible sparkle in his eye. Yep, there we go. We said, yeah, we want to meet him. And so from there, we got to get on an 11-hour overnight train ride, affectionately called the Shake and Bake, because it does kind of rock like this the whole time. And after about, I think it was about 9 p.m. or so, or 10 maybe, they turn off the air conditioning. And so it gets a little toasty because we were there in August in Ukraine. And the overnight train. Anyways, I'll get past this in a second. Okay. And we travel from Kiev 11 hours to eastern Ukraine to the hometown of where this little boy was living in an orphanage. And from there, we had to go and meet with the social worker of that region with our facilitator. So we had this meeting, and then we got to go to the orphanage and meet with the director and get her okay. And then we finally got to actually meet this little boy who would become our son. And I can tell you that through that whole long process of reorienting my heart, and then I'm starting to go through all the legal stuff, all the different things that had to happen in order for us to get there. It was a long, drawn-out process, but this was a child who we were actively seeking out. In the book of Luke, one of the guys who wrote about Jesus' life, Luke, tells these stories that Jesus told, three in a row in the book, in Luke 15. There's three parables he tells, and they're all about lost things. There's a lost coin, and there's a lost sheep, and there's a lost son. And it tells about a man who goes out and searches these things out without rest, without any thought for anything else. Searching out this lamb that was lost, leaving the 99 to go search for the one. Seeking that out with the sons, a son who ran away from home, a son who stayed at home but became distant from his dad. Both cases, the father went out and searched out his sons. He sought them out. That's the heart of God for us. To come into the place that we live in slavery to sin, in slavery to this world and all the ways the world wants us to live, to search us out in that place. To seek you out in the place you were. That's the heart of the Father. To spare no expense, spare no thought to other things, but to search for you because he loves you. So the first piece of this whole idea of the gift of adoption, is that we have been brought out of something by someone who has searched us out. With intention, with passion, with determination, he has sought you out to bring you out of sin and slavery and the ways of this world. But he sought you out in order to bring you into something, and that is to bring you into his family. Now for us, becoming a family of five, it wasn't a particularly easy process. Even after getting there and getting to meet our son for the first time, it still had a lot of process to go through to actually get to a place where he could become part of our family. So because we've been delayed a couple weeks in Ukraine, the 5 to 6 weeks eventually led to being, you know, just over 9 weeks spent over in Ukraine. And during that time, we had a whole bunch of legal requirements to meet. We did have to go through all the process with the social worker in the region. We had to get the director's okay. And she was a very nice lady, but she was also pretty tough. And she was asking us some pretty tough questions when we first met her. And if she didn't give her okay, which she had already not given to someone else, then we were not going forward in the process. And we also had to go through the whole process of court a couple weeks after we had met Max for the first time. And we had to go into court, and we had to be all dressed up, of course, for that. Interestingly, this is just a little aside, but in eastern Ukraine, where our son is from, everyone speaks Russian as the common language. It's as far east as Moscow is, essentially, right? It just kind of dips underneath where Russia is there. So everyone speaks Russian, but when you go to court, everything's in Ukrainian still, because it's, of course, the official language. So we were kind of starting to get used to hearing Russian, and then all of a sudden you're switching over and you're hearing Ukrainian. It's like, oh, that sounds totally different, and I still don't understand much of it. So that's great. We had to go through court, and that was an incredibly intense and scary experience. To be in a courtroom there and not understand the language and know they're talking about you and whether you're suitable to be a parent or not. Our facilitator helped translate a lot of it for us, but it's still, there's just that feeling of fear as you're sitting there in court waiting for that. But because to become a family of five, to welcome this boy into our family, we had to satisfy a lot of legal requirements. In the same way, for God to adopt us as his kids, there were legal requirements that had to be satisfied. And when Jesus came, he came to satisfy those legal requirements. We often use a big word for that called justification, where in a courtroom kind of setting, we sat in the defendant's seat as guilty. But Jesus came and said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go sit in that seat for you. And I will take the fullness of the penalty that you deserve on myself so that you don't have to face it, and you will stand as being justified. I will meet the legal requirements for you. And that is what he came to do. In order to bring us into God's family, it wasn't just a matter of Jesus coming down and saying, hey, you guys all get to be part of God's family. Isn't that great? Just come with me. Because of sin being a part of the world and us being under slavery to sin, we were not owned by God. We were apart from him. And Jesus had to pay the legal requirement for us to be able to be the children of God. To everyone who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. We didn't have that right before. But Jesus fulfilled the legal requirements to make us able to be God's kids. Well, we fulfilled a bunch of the legal requirements that we had to do. And on September the 27th, so we had arrived in Ukraine, I think it was August 5th or 4th or 5th in there. September the 27th was officially our, what's often termed, gotcha day, because we finally got to go get Max from the orphanage. But before we could do that, there was a whole bunch of stuff we had to do leading up to that. And this was, I think, one of the craziest days I have ever lived through. Because we got up first thing in the morning, we were expecting a call from our facilitator saying she had the court documents in hand so we could go to his hometown and do a bunch of paperwork. And she got to the courthouse, everything had been fine leading up to this, and all of a sudden there was this huge lineup. And it was going to take a while for her to get the documents that we needed to get our whole day going. And we knew it was going to be tight on time as it was to try and get everything done and get back to the orphanage before they closed up for the day so we could get Max and get going. Anyways, from there it just went from crazy to more crazy. As we got to his hometown eventually, in the previous days leading up to that, she had called ahead to the office there saying, is everything good? Are we all good to get our paperwork done? Oh yeah, yeah, you're all good. Great. We got there, it's like, yeah, we're not good today. Can you come back tomorrow? No, we really can't. That's going to be a big problem for us. So anyways, we got to there, we got that paperwork done, we had to get a new passport made for him, we had to get train tickets bought so we could take another train back to Kyiv and ride the shake and bake once more on the way back. So we had all these things to do and all these pieces that we had to get in place so we could actually go and bring Max with us. But one of the most fascinating pieces of this whole thing was the piece that we had to do in his hometown, because the paperwork we needed from there was a new birth certificate for him. This is a part of how they work the adoption process in Ukraine, is you get a new birth certificate form. So at that point, you give the child a new name. You can actually, even within reason, change their birthday, which seems a little odd to me, but you can do it. But you know, it got me thinking. When Jesus came, one of the things he came to do was give us new birth. He was having a conversation with one of the religious leaders, and this was how the conversation unfolded. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. Sorry, that sun's right in my eyes. Where can I? There we go, that's better. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.'" You've been born of flesh. That's one way we are born. We're born into this world from our mother's womb. But Jesus said, "You must be born again." Born of the Spirit, and he made that possible for us. For us to have new birth, to be welcomed into a new family. Well, we were then, at that point, on September the 27th, a family on paper. But I can tell you that becoming a family is more of a process than just what the court tells you you are. A family on paper doesn't mean you're a family in relationship. And even though we had had that month going to the orphanage every day for daily visits, and we had started to bond and started to build relationship, that was a good start. But there was a lot of family building still to be done. And there's still family growth and building to be done even today as we continue to grow together as a family of five. And in a similar way, I think, getting to be a part of God's family functions the same way. There's an initial point where we get to be welcomed into the family of God because of what Jesus did for us. But there's also a process of becoming a family with him, growing into that relationship with him. Another big word for you, if you like, is sanctification, whereby we put off more and more of that stuff of our past, of the world, and we take on more and more of the characteristics of Jesus and more of what his life is for us as we get to know God more and more. So in this whole gift of adoption, it's a gift, it is such a gift, whereby God sought us out in a place of brokenness and slavery. He sought us out in that place and brought us out of that and brought us into a family, his family, a family of love and joy and acceptance and peace and grace and kindness and goodness. He gave us this gift of adoption to bring us out of the hurt and the pain and the brokenness of the world we live in to experience his life and his love. So Christmas isn't just a story of a baby that came into the world. I mean, that it very much is that, and we celebrate that, and we'll tell that story again on Christmas Eve as part of what we talk about. But it's also the story of a father who was searching for you. Searching for you to bring you out of the hurt and the brokenness of all the stuff that the world wants to throw at you and to draw you into his family of acceptance and love. Dealing with all the legal requirements that are necessary through this little baby that was born who would die on a cross to pay for the penalty for our sins so that all the legal stuff would be done. Giving us a new birth, a new hope in him and bringing us into a family. So this morning and this Christmas, how will you respond to the one who sought you out? How will you respond to the Father who reached out with his hands of love, with determination and passion to seek you out and reached out to you to embrace you and bring you into his family? Will you enter that embrace? Will you continue to grow to be a part of that family, letting him more and more shape your life? Will you pass that on to someone else so they too can be welcomed into that family? Let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll have some time to respond as the team comes back up to lead us in some music.